I want to say welcome to everybody, and let me take a minute to try to orient you to what we're working on these days. There's some statements that Jesus made in the book of John. One in chapter 8, Jesus says to some critics of his, "You are of this world, I am not of this world." In John 18, speaking to Pilate in the middle of the time just before he was crucified, he said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my disciples would have fought." And then in his great prayer for his disciples, which I think includes us, he says, "My disciples are not of this world, just as I am not of this world." And what that led us into was a realization that there is a spiritual dimension to life, and that it's so easy to get caught up in living only in the material dimension. And so the question emerges, how do we live in the Spirit? Now, I'd like to be real clear with you that 2 weeks ago, we started a section of Scripture in Ephesians. You can go there if you want to. We're going to go to Ephesians 6 for a moment. And for 2 weeks, we've been looking at this little section in Ephesians 6, looking at some answers to the question, how do we live in the Spirit? I have prepared three more places in Scripture for us to look. So if you want to think of it, we have an answer A, an answer B, an answer C, an answer D. And we were working for 2 weeks on answer A. And we have this morning just a little bit more to do in answer A. And in the first hour, it took us the whole hour. So it's going to need to take you the whole hour because I don't want to be off on schedule where one of you is doing one thing and one doing another. But in any event, just be aware that there are three more passages of Scripture that we're going to look at. But we were looking at Ephesians chapter 6. We looked in verse 10, which says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His power." And then verse 11, "Put on the full armor of God." Verse 13, this is why you must take up all of God's armor. And then starting in verse 14 and going through verse 17 is what we looked at last week, is the nature of what that armor is. He was making a metaphor to the armor that a Roman soldier might have carried or worn. But the armor that he talks about is God's armor. And so it represents truth, right relationship with God, an eagerness to share the good news, faith, salvation, and God's word. What I want to draw your attention to this morning is that immediately following that, and I believe it's a continuation of that, he begins to talk about prayer. And so I want you to just notice for a moment, starting in verse 18 and going for a couple of verses beyond that, he talks about prayer in a way that I think puts that into the context of God's armor, that prayer is the piece that he ends with. He begins with truth and he ends with prayer. And so what I want to do is read this and then go back and try to pick out what it is he says about prayer, and then let us discuss that for the time that we have this morning. So my translation, verse 18, says, "In all your prayer and entreaty, keep praying in the Spirit on every possible occasion. Never get tired of staying awake to pray for all of God's holy people." Verse 19, "And pray for me to be given an opportunity to open my mouth and fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, of which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that in proclaiming it, I may speak as fearlessly as I ought to." So the first thing I would propose to do is to get down what he has said about prayer, and then that will open up our discussion. So go back to verse 18. What are some things that he says about prayer? He says, pray all the time. He says, pray in the Spirit. Keep going.
Prayer and supplication are two different things.
Yeah, he's got more than one word for prayer back here. My translation says entreaty, or I think that's a plural. And yours said supplication.
It's request.
And that's plural again?
Uh-huh.
Okay. This is not
three different things, but three different terms used for a second thing that Scripture produces. Okay? Pray all the time. Pray in the Spirit. Anything else?
Be alert.
Perseverance.
Yeah. There's a sense of persevering if you have one translation.
Another translation, I heard somebody say a word.
Alert.
Okay.
Persevering. Alert. Mine says staying awake. And what he's saying now is praying all the time, praying, persevering, praying alert and staying awake. What are you praying for? You're praying for, and I'm going to put some emphasis on a word that he used, but if you think about it for a moment, he didn't have to use. He could have said, pray for the saints, but he says, pray for all the saints. My translation uses the phrase, pray for all of God's holy people. Anybody have a different translation? A little different?
Brothers and sisters.
Brothers and sisters. You must have the Message. Okay. Anything else? That's not at all. That's a little bit more. Yeah. Paul says, pray for me. And what is it you're supposed to pray for concerning me? As Paul says, pray for his words. But what he will say.
And how he'll say.
And for boldness in one translation, courage in one translation, fearlessness, I think, in at least one translation, insane. Okay?
Did that catch everything?
Maybe so. I'd like to put a little
remark. Watchful, and my study note says, emphasizes the focus of the prayer.
Okay. I've heard you say watchfulness.
Watchful.
And focus. Okay. I'm going to put a box around this, because when we get to part B, remember I told you how many parts we're going to have before we get finished with this? Next year?
Oh.
2 years from now, whenever we get through this, we're going to have a total of four, right? This is the first one. When we get to part B, we're going to do more with that. It's not real surprising. We're going to various places in Paul's letters where he talks about aspects of this. And when we do that, we're still talking about how we live in the Spirit. But part of how we live in the Spirit is included in some of these words that we use. And this will be a phrase that will show up in the next place in Paul's letters we go with. It's not real surprising he would use a phrase more than once. Okay? So, watchful and focused. I think that's more on Leonard on this part than it is on this part. And okay. Anything else? Okay. If not, then let's begin to do this work. When it says all the time, what are the times that might invite you to pray? What are things that might cause you to take time to pray?
Anytime the Lord brings a person to mind, a lot of times that for specific prayer, you don't know what specific prayer is, but I think about this.
We talked about Kelly Miller up here a few minutes ago. You may not know Barbara spent a number of years teaching kindergarten alongside Kelly's wife, Edith. They were some of our partners in doing that. So that when we hear this, we start to think about all kinds of things that in our interactions. And we, in a way, we're praying for him, but we're praying for her as well, because God has brought her to our minds as we think about things. So when God brings someone to mind, what else is a time when you might be led to prayer?
Just Thanksgiving.
Let me pause on this one just a minute. Hold that thought. Let me pause on this one just a minute. This is Thanksgiving week, right? Okay. Let me contrast that with Seinfeld.
I apologize for this, but a few of you know about Festivus. Right? What's the central focus of Thanksgiving? Giving thanks. What's the central focus of Festivus? The airing of grievances, right? It is hilarious in part because it could not be more in contrast, I think. Right? The very thought of gathering around a table and airing grievances.
It's just hilarious. So I hope that whatever your Thanksgiving celebration is, that it really does focus on Thanksgiving, not necessarily on airing your grievances. It's a festival for the rest of us, I think is the way it is.
George Costanza's father invented this as an alternative to other holiday experiences, and they have feats of strength and they have airing of grievances, and it always, I think, involved the humiliation of George before it could be declared.
And I think that's probably enough. I don't want to go any further with that. Just a moment of stark contrast with what this week, I hope, is for you. Now, somebody said something else at this point.
Times of uncertainty.
Every time you drive your car.
Yeah, let me choose a word out of the first hour for that one. For protection. And it was very interesting. Somebody said, for protection. And I think there were two or three things, like anytime I get in the car when I go through this. And a gentleman sitting over this side says, whenever you're in a firefight. I know his background. He's Vietnam veteran. And I know where he's talking from when he says that. Because, and I found myself thinking there are times when we might be in spiritual firefights, and it might be a need even greater than getting on Interstate 95 or Midlothian Turnpike lately. yeah, for protection.
Discernment.
Let me expand that just a little bit. Discernment often is connected with decision making. And the decision making can be personal or on behalf of some other group. It's bad enough when you're trying to make decisions for yourself, when you're trying to make decisions that affect other people. The load can sometimes be a little bit greater. And those would be times for that. Yeah.
When you're awed by creation, different things, I mean, think like when we go on vacation and see awesome things, the color of our
sky. I stood this week next to my mailbox and just look straight back my driveway at some trees that still scare me that they exist, because they're as big as the one that decided to come visit inside the house when Isabel came through. But every year I find myself thinking at the 1st of November, well, I guess fall has passed us by this year. We're not going to get any color. And it seems like for about 3 or 4 years I've been thinking that, you know, along about the 5th or 8th or 10th of November. And then I forget that probably global warming and inconvenient truth and all that. That the color peak is coming a little bit later. And I'm sort of thinking, well, we've missed it. And then all of a sudden, and you're right, it's beautiful.
When God's glory is revealed, and the awe and wonder and praise that that creates come out. And in the fall, at the right place and the right time, you can have moments of that. I told somebody the other day, I'm waiting for a machine to be invented that allows me to step into a closet in my room and step out next to a park bench overlooking Glacier Point in Yosemite, sit there for an hour, and it goes, you know, back in my closet, back into the house, go on with what I'm doing.
You want the wardrobe.
Yeah. I do understand my brother has a giant screen TV, and he has a program that I have now seen once. I don't know if you've heard of this program or not. I don't know the title for sure, but I think it's called Morning Sunrise.
Sunrise Earth.
Sunrise Earth, is that what it is? They set up a camera someplace, and all they do is just watch the sunrise. It goes on for an hour, no commercials, no nothing. You just, and it looks like you're looking through a picture window. It's just amazing. So, you know, maybe they'll set one of those up at Glacier Point in Yosemite and other places.
We've done that at the beach before. Go out on the beach when it's dark and watch for that first
one. Let's see if we can figure out how to word that. Help me word that. It's time to switch to some other color. Where'd Kendall go? I thought she'd be proud. Help me word that one. You got it.
I think Gloria under confession says just helping you. You know, when God wants to do a work in you and change you, you know, I have an anger problem, help me not be angry today, or help me not do this, or help me not be that.
I've got two things on that. One is, how does that tie in with the heart of what we're looking at, which is all the time? Praying all the time. How does that tie into this?
I think it's recognizing
your
weakness.
Yeah.
Understanding another part of the scripture, it ties in quite well because it, you know, it tells you before you do something else that's related to a form of worship that you need to do this or these things, confession.
How soon after you do something that you need to pray for forgiveness for, have you realized that you need to pray for forgiveness for that?
We need to go a long way. But you have to be aware.
Sometimes it's not often. Sometimes it's later.
I understand. But if you're alert and staying awake and watchful, it's possible. It is not always, and I understand that. Sometimes you realize later. You know, that wasn't such a good idea.
I got a great example of this.
Of which one?
I don't know. We'll see.
Of the delay.
My sister and I had a conversation. And during the conversation, I was sensing that she wasn't getting what I was trying to say.
How dare she?
I know that. So we were talking, and I thought I was making myself very clear, but Gary tells me I've done it as clear as mud many times. But to me, it makes so much sense. And so we went on, I don't know, but so we were going through. Then we had things to do because we were dealing with mama things. And we had some doctor's appointments, and we do everything as a family. It's a big family affair whenever we do anything. So we go in, we come back out, and I'm still sensing this little bit of tension there, and it is just bothering me because I don't know what's going on. So we get home, and I'm all day, I'm just going, Lord, what have I said? What have I done? And then so I rehearse the thing, and I go, I did not make myself clear, evidently. So I called her up and I said, I've got to figure out what's wrong here because I've sensed an uneasiness and it's happened to her 3 hours ago and I think I now know what it is. But it took that time frame of me rehearsing the conversation and what was not said as well as what was said to realize that I was misunderstood and I needed to apologize. But it didn't happen right away because I didn't have a clue. But it took that long for me to go through it, and it was almost the end of the day. But you use something
right away. And see, that's a girl thing. You guys would say, get over it.
Into the woods and no one else is around and he says anything, is he still wrong?
Yes.
Yeah. I do think that,
you know, there's a couple of things here for this. One is, you may not have known what was going wrong, but you did have a sense pretty quickly that something was going wrong.
Right.
And I think in that sense, that's in context of what we're talking about here. The second thing is, and if we want to have a little testimony time now,
the thing that I think that happens more often than not with me is that I try to explain, and then since I'm not positive I've been understood, I explain again. And then just to be sure...
that you were right.
And that's got to
clearly, I haven't made myself understood.
Could you repeat that?
There's a piece of this all the time that I think Paul is trying to say something. And I just don't want us to miss it. Barbara, in between the 2 hours, reminded me of an experience that she had had. Maybe I'll just let you tell it about your the time that you took the youth group.
I can't remember her name. And I know maybe not really missed it, but maybe it's a little bit better. A lady in our church who was a very prayerful person. And she and I had gone with a group of teenagers down to Lisa. And it was just, she lived prayer. We would be walking along, going from one place to another place, and we'd be talking about something. In the middle of our conversation, she was just, as she was talking to me, and Lord, you just heard what we said. You know that we need your help on this, and we're putting your hands right now. And she just go on. And that was just, that's the way she lived her life. She was including God in what she was doing all the time. And just a conversation with him, Lord, you heard it. This is it for you. We're going to help you. Now she never even stopped.
It's real funny, as I heard Barbara saying that, I'm thinking to myself, there are times now in my work that I send a reply to something. Somebody send an email to me, I send a reply, and I send a copy, a blind copy, to the secretary that works with me. And she knows when she gets a blind copy, there's no reference about her anywhere in the thing. She's supposed to print that thing out, put it into a file that says, bug Bill about this 1 week from now. And it's interesting to see a little parallel that almost says, you know, God, I'm going to forget to tell you about this one an hour from now because it's not going to be in my mind, but I want you to know, and then maybe God brings it back to our minds at some later time, and we're able to connect it. It's interesting that it actually connects with at least what this human does sometimes when it gets forgetful too.
I think it's a good practice, and we all fall short, but to have a dialogue with God all day long. You know, when you're in your car riding, you thank him for that beautiful tree, you can say, Lord, I need help with this, please help restore so and so. But I think throughout the day, you're talking back and forth. And that could be all the time. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. I don't know where the 3 came from.
Thank you for that guy in the right-hand lane who decided to make a U-turn in front of you. You hit the blooming idiot. Yeah, and I don't mean to make light of that.
Okay. You know, I think a phrase, this spontaneous phrase of God, it really is what he's done for you.
Yeah, we've talked here about praising God for what he's done, but praising God for who he is. And there are times in the day, I hope for you, that it occurs to you that that's an important thing to do. What are other times that might be appropriate for prayer? Yeah.
I know that a lot of times I'm really, really emotionally and physically tired, and I pray and I thank God that although I'm tired, that I still know that I do not belong in prayer. And I thank him for giving me that strength of knowing, that confidence of knowing that I'm going to go on through him and not through myself.
Yeah, and I hope you'll give me permission to do something that will illustrate this out of some wording that we ended up working through in the first hour. Somebody in the first hour said, you pray when the day starts. At the start of the day. What are you praying for when you pray to God at the start of the day? Praying for all the things you're going to need help with and need his presence in during the day. And as soon as you have that thought, what should follow? Praying when? At the end of the day, for what? What he's done. Yes. So, you know, sort of a prayer beginning and then a prayer of thanksgiving at the end of the day. And then I think what yours does is yours fits really, really nicely into the middle of that. I'm halfway through the day. And thank you for what you've done. But I'm starting to get tired now. And I've still got a good part of the day to go. And that this maybe comes closer to the center of what Paul was talking about, is that sort of acknowledgement of God's presence. But
at the end of the day, it's not only thanksgiving, but it's also forgiveness.
You pick up lots of things. But this idea of three times a day, if I were interpreting that, I would interpret that the start of the day, the end of the day, and then the middle of the day, there's something going through it.
You know, one of my big prayers throughout the day is for God to continually reveal his presence to me, because we get so bogged down and being so busy that I want my focus on him, and so I make it a decision to ask for that continually throughout the day for his presence, because it's too easy to forget.
Somebody mentioned one in the first hour as a prayer to help them deal with worry. And the way they worded it, I took the liberty of changing the wording just a little bit. And so what I ended up writing down on the board was praying to God for help dealing with paralyzing anxiety. I don't know if there's anybody in this room, but there seemed to be a few in the first hour that sort of recognized something there that was worth trying to look for. Dealing with anxiety, especially the debilitating kind.
I have found myself in prayer in the Thanksgiving when I realize and I recognize I need God's help and I need to pray for something. And I think you said it a moment ago. You said when Sarah was talking about her story with her sister, and Becky said, but you knew something was wrong, and there's thanksgiving, and that you recognize that there was a need for you to try to research the words and the thought. And I find myself many times in prayer thanking God that I recognize that I've even, I'm like so present and present, you know, so in the moment that I recognize that I needed help, and I'll say a quick prayer before I go into a meeting to make sure I use the right words, and I'm grateful that I remember to recognize that. Does that make sense?
And I think what the first hour did, a connection here, which I think is close to what you're dealing with, is to pray for being able to enjoy, appreciate each moment.
Mm-hmm. That's sort of like preparation prayer. Preparation.
But so often, some of this begins to sneak in and diminish. So as you're thinking, okay, well, what else can go wrong, as opposed to, you know, this is something worth enjoying right now. Yeah.
How about intercessory?
Way back here at the back. Yeah, intercessory. That's the word for it. pray for other people, to pray for ones. And I think that's, to my mind, it may be connected back to this first one. If God brings somebody to mind, either because you've been thinking about them and now you're thinking about them again, or because you haven't for a while.
Well, I've got a friend that taught me when she was home cleaning house, when she was dusting or vacuuming in this child's room, she would be praying for that child at work, or folding, folding clothes, pray for that child, it brings to mind, Lord, she's got a test about this time, help her to focus on it, or for your husband at work, or what he's doing, and things like that.
If you're praying while you're driving, you have my permission to keep your eyes open while you're praying.
Under God's core, the opinion of different passions, but to recognize all of his miracles during the day.
We have more.
He focuses on God in the early morning, or through the air, and when he does, he promises to us. Give us an ease of permission. We are not afraid to approach him. It is just part of where we are. Right there.
Thanks that we can pray to him. You were talking about the miracles a moment ago. We were singing the invitation hymn in the 8 o'clock service this morning. And I had to stop singing because a couple came forward. And the gentleman in that couple is sort of, in my mind, a double miracle. He had been attending this class for a while, profoundly hard of hearing, to the point that I wore a microphone and he wore a box about this big and headphones and all this so that he had a chance of understanding every third word. And you can chalk it up to medical science if you want to, and I think a lot of it could be, but he had some kind of a transplant into the inner ear, cochlear implant or something like that. And he's hearing me again. It's not perfect, but it's way better than it was. And he, I don't know if it's fair to say it this way, but he stopped coming to Sunday school. And I think the reason was he had so many questions that he couldn't stand not to ask those questions while Sunday school was going on, and he knew that that would disrupt things. And so I got a call asking if I knew anybody who would be willing to work with him one-on-one for a while, just try to deal with all his questions. And there's a guy out of the first hour that agreed to do that. So for close to a year, I think, every week, once or twice a week, he's been sitting down with this guy and just trying to help him work through the questions he has about faith, about the Lord, about Scripture, about all this stuff. And he came forward and joined the church this morning for baptism. And I see that as the culmination. If he hadn't been able to hear, he probably wouldn't have had that time with my friend that became so much better once his hearing was better. And as soon as I said that, two or three more things sort of happened where people had experiences like this of miracles happening. And when you hear those happening, sometimes there's explanations for them that seem to take care of them. Sometimes they're not. I don't know if you're on the email list. Did you notice that little thing came through the email this week? Somebody having severe back problems. And somebody else in the class had contacted them and said, there's a doctor that I really think is the right one to go to. And if you go to that doctor, check with this nurse. That's the nurse that will take care of things. And 1 hour before that email, that voice message was listened to, the person that they had been praying for had been led to that doctor, and the first person they talked to in the doctor's office was that nurse. I don't know if that's coincidence or not, but I'm prepared to think, there was something pretty special in this. And there's enough of that that goes on. Some of that coming because of connections of that sort.
Bill, I've gone through an evolution in kind of the way I pray and the way I approach prayer. And it goes back to years ago, I found myself struggling, you mentioned anger. At this point, it was patience, and I kept praying for patience. God grant me patience. And I was in a men's Bible study, and somebody suggested that maybe I was asking the wrong question, praying for the wrong thing. Maybe I should be praying for to be filled with the Spirit. And this ties into praying in the Spirit, and we've had lessons in here about not being the battery to be filled with the Spirit, but to the extension cord remaining connected to God's Spirit. And then we've had lessons in here about being under the influence of the Spirit. So my prayer has changed to where I'm asking to be to remain under the influence of the Spirit, understanding that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. So that's kind of a byproduct of my maintaining the connection of being under the influence of the Spirit. And I know when I'm struggling, maybe that's an indication that I've broken that connection.
Yeah, I picked this up. This is the notebook that I carry my notes in. And on the front, I've got a little grid here that you may recognize. I don't remember where this came from, but it gives the prayers that various Myers-Briggs type might pray. One of them, for example, I won't tell you what the letters are. Lord, help me to be more laid back and do it exactly correctly. Another one, Lord, keep me open to the ideas of other people, wrong though they may be. And the one that fits with yours is, Lord, please give me patience, and I want it right now.
We got a little bit more to do, because I do want to try to connect this more deliberately with some of the other things.
Why does he say pray in the Spirit? I think you have just opened the door to that big time. There are things that we don't know how to pray for, Paul says. But if we are connected with the Spirit knows how to pray for those things in ways that we don't. And I think that that probably is the most likely connection he's making.
Why does he say all? Why is that word all talks to me? Might be a few you don't feel like praying for. There might be a few. Don't skip them. Persevering means sometimes you have to worship this. And I think that's probably times when you don't feel as close to God as you feel at other times. But what about this one down here? When Paul says, and pray for me. Where was he when he said that? You got a clue in the words that were there. Did you see that clue? Where was Paul when he prayed that? Probably in jail.
He said, pray for me. And what's he praying about? What does he say to pray for him? It's up there.
But what he's going to say, and for the courage and boldness and fearlessness to say it at the right time.
I'm not sure I can count anymore, if I ever could, the number of times I come in here thinking, okay, I've done what preparation I can, and then find it all of a sudden words are being said, sometimes by me and sometimes by you, that I hadn't put those words down as things I was going to say that day. But somehow by the end of the day, I feel like it went a whole lot better with those words than it did with the ones I thought I was going to say when I walked into the room. What's that part about boldness talking about?
Have to take courage to say the right thing at the right time. Because our world says don't rock the boat. Our world says get along. And it doesn't say get along little doggy, it just says get along.
It does take courage to do that. Because there sometimes is a moment in time, you say something at that moment in the right way, and there's a leverage that God can use to make all kinds of good things happen. You miss that opportunity. It doesn't matter too much, I think, what you say later. The leverage that you had at that moment is gone. I think Paul is on target for this. So I've got a question. You guys pray for me. There's a small group that meets in our church that invited Barbara and me to supper one night. And they gave me a gift that I can hardly describe. We finished dinner. We were sitting around the table. And they looked at us and said, okay, now the main reason you're here, we want to find out, how can we pray for you? I spent about 2 months, 3 months going over to the Shalom Baptist Church, some of you know about. Before I went, Highland Carter, he's gone now, he called me up and he said, I know you're coming. My people want to know, before you come, how can we be praying for you? There is power in that. Do you pray for Travis Collins? Do you pray for the people that are leading whatever work you're in? And if you're a leader, are there people praying for you? The strength of prayer is in the interlocking of prayer, where people pray for each other. And more than anything else, I want you to get that sense out of today. The idea of praying all the time is, I think, because there are so many connections that you have. God's going to bring something to mind. If you put off praying for it, He's going to be bringing something else to mind later, and you're going to pray for that, and you're going to skip the one. And if you pray that way all the time, you're providing the kind of support that your friends need. And you're providing the kind of support you need. And they're doing the same for you.
Sometimes I'll be talking with someone, and you know, I know that they've been having physical problems or something, and I'll say, how are you doing? And of course the answer is, oh, I'm doing fine. And I'll come back with being more specific so I know how to pray for you.
And
then the facade melts away and they are more specific. Go ahead and pray right then. Don't say, I will pray for you. Do it. With them. Yes.
Why do we spend the time we spend every morning dealing with this side of the world? I had somebody one time complain to me. He said, I want you to have more time for teaching. I wish we wouldn't do this. And I said, you're not seeing the dynamics of this class yet then. Because there's some mornings that side of the board is a whole lot more important than this side of the board. Today, I don't know. I think it balances pretty good today. Just in case you've forgotten, this series of lessons that we're in right now are all focused on prayer. All this that we were talking about God's armor, was set in place to bring us back to talking about prayer. That's what we're doing. We're gonna walk away in a little while, because we're gonna frame it as how do we live in the Spirit. We're gonna talk about those things. But you watch, and it's gonna bring us back to prayer. We know I've talked about some things, it's gonna bring us back to prayer. And it's because I think that's the piece that I think, when it's used properly and when it's used effectively, there's nothing in this world or the world of the Spirit that could stand up against it. So let's have a brief prayer as we go. Our Father, this morning we thank you for the time that you give us. We thank you for the words that we've looked at today that have come from you. And we thank you for your Spirit being in our hearts. And so this week I pray that you would keep us safe, keep us close to you, but keep us praying. Keep us protected. Keep us effective in your work. But keep us praying for each other and for this world. All this we pray in your Son's name. Amen.